Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Joining me is Mr. Dwayne Gomer. He's out of Mission Viejo. He's taking the time out of holiday, a Memorial Day, to chat with us about strategic default. What happens if you walk away from a property? Should I buy or sell my current home? And what he's calling the accidental landlord. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Dwayne Gomer.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I met you or know of you for years and years and years because you are the guru, maybe the longest-running independent guy helping real estate agents continue education and get their license renewal. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. We've been doing it since continuing education went into effect for real estate agents in 1979, and we happened to be ready at that time, just ready to move into a new field, and we've been in it doing it ever since.
Well, I renewed my license recently and used Dwayne Gomer's online course, but you also occasionally come to Santa Barbara and do live classes as well, right?
Yes, we have online, and then we have another course where we come to the Santa Barbara Association and do a live review to help students prepare for the test. We also can get people their license, a broker or salesperson, and also we do MLO classes and notary.
What's MLO?
MLO is mortgage loan origination. Mortgage loan brokers have to take some continuing education classes and pass a really difficult national exam.
Okay. And so that's been your focus? But
yes,
I've seen some things on your website that you kind of do a lot of things. And have you written any books, or what are your other passions? Because we're going to talk about some different things other than continuing education.
Well, I appreciate that. My field when I was in real estate was property management and syndication. And since then, I've written some books on foreclosure, IRS tax, property management, and then the typical license renewal courses.
Oh, okay. So if you want to find Dwayne Gomer, he's got a website, dwaynegomer.com, and it's Dwayne, D-U-A-N-E, Gomer.com. So strategic default, I mentioned this before, default is a negative word, strategic is a very positive word, and they've combined the two to create a new word. What do you think about this, and what does it mean?
Well, strategic default is where someone is in a position where their house has dropped tremendously in value, and like many have, maybe not so much in your area, but in some of the areas like the Inland Empire, houses have dropped tremendously. And some people have the desire just to walk away from the property. They have the income to continue paying, but they're paying on a $600,000 loan when they could buy the house right next door for $400,000. So they decide, even though they have the money to pay, to make a strategy decision and just to move out and let the lender foreclose on their property.
And they might do, and let me just add that sadly, we have that case too in Santa Barbara. We're not immune from what's been happening. A little more insulated in certain circumstances, but not to sugarcoat it, there's been some significant heavy drops. And then people, of course, you know, at the height of the market, maybe refinanced. And so they found themselves, between a rock and a hard place. So when people do this, they make the decision, is it sometimes known as cash for keys? Is that one path they take?
No, this is completely different. Cash for keys is a term that's used when there is a foreclosure and the lender hires a company or a real estate broker to go out to the property and the person is still living there. And so the person could be a tenant or it could be the prior owner. And so the broker then offers them cash to move out instead of having to go through an eviction. So that's one situation after a foreclosure. The strategic defaulter is the person who has the property and wants to walk away from it and let the lender start the foreclosure. So it's at two different ends of the spectrum.
Well, okay, but let's see if there's ever an intersection here, because I was thinking strategic default. You could have two paths. You could walk away from the property and let the whole process of foreclosure run out. Is that what you're, is that one path?
That's one path.
Okay. Now, I remember watching a piece on 60 Minutes where they were talking, they were interviewing people, a lot of people from Arizona where things really, tanked.
Yes.
And you know, if someone has to make that decision, and I have a client right now who's making that decision, it's just killing him because he always pays his bills. He tried to get a loan modification. He had this horrible loan. He just tried to say, can't you do something fair for me? I've paid and paid and paid. And they wouldn't even talk to him. They wouldn't even talk to him. So he's forced now. He's going to sell short. But in Arizona, they were talking about people who stay in the house and just stop making payments and wait around for a year or two and milk it dry, or move out and rent the house, take the rental income, and let the thing drag out forever.
Yes, so, that would be it. It could be either way.
That's another fork. That's a fork in the road. So, you know, bothers me.
Okay, now for your gentleman, the problem that the people have, as your person is who's pondering the decision, he's got to sit there and think, what are the good points and the bad points? And obviously, to help his family and to move out, it's a good decision possibly not to pay on an exceedingly high loan for 4 or 5 years. Now, so for a financial decision, it's easy to walk away. Now, there's two things that keep people from walking away. One is the fear of what might happen because they quit paying their bills. And the other is a moral question. Am I hurting everything? And so on the decision, on the fear is not it would not probably be a problem because most lenders are going to foreclose using the trustee sale method, so therefore they cannot get a judgment against the people. So the chance of a judgment coming against them in California is almost nil because the lenders do not want to go through the judicial foreclosure process. And many of the loans, as you know, are non-recourse loans, so the lender couldn't get a judgment anyway. So the chance of the lender getting a judgment is extremely remote. Now, the other thing is, how bad will their credit be ruined? Well, you know that if somebody does a deed in lieu of foreclosure or does a short sale, which is more common, they may not be able to buy another property for 2 to 3 years. And going through the foreclosure might just mean they could not buy another property for 3 or 4 years. So that fear.
So going through foreclosure, so you don't think it might be as long as 7 years?
No, it is not anymore. The people, in fact, I just went to a seminar from CAR, and it was sponsored by Foreclosure Radar, and they're saying real estate agents should start checking with the people who, in 2008, went through foreclosure, because many of them now, the lenders will lend to them again.
Well, that's interesting updated news that I was not aware of. I thought that there was more of a difference between the short sale and having your credit heal more quickly than the foreclosure. So that's good news for those folks who are in that position. And I want to point out, talking with Dwayne Gomer, teaches continuing education for license renewal for California realtors, DwayneGomer.com, and that's DUANE.com. He's written a few books about property management, the IRS, syndication. A lot of people, you just kind of subtly threw this out, but a lot of people are not aware of this difference with judicial foreclosure and how, like you said, it's almost non-existent in California, which is a good thing for people who don't want people to go after their assets.
Yes, it's very difficult in California with the type of laws we have because, number one, the loan has to be a recourse loan, which means that most loans made to buy a home are not recourse loans. And the other thing is then they have to go through a judicial foreclosure, which would take about 2 years, and the people can still stay in the property during that period of time. So I have yet, in my experience in teaching my classes, I ask all the students, have you heard of any judicial foreclosures on a home? And to this day, I have not yet heard of one in California. I heard of one remote case where something happened with a mansion. But the chance of Joe Smith having it won't happen.
That person, that mansion, that's my guest next week.
He's got a great story.
Do you know him?
No, I'm just joking. Oh. There was a man that had a big house, and they went through judicial foreclosure. Very quickly, I had a story one time in my class. I had a woman came up and said, I'm going through a judicial foreclosure. And I said, going through a judicial foreclosure, number one, it has to be a big property. She says, a shopping center. I said, number two, it just has to be a big difference in the loan and the value, a tremendous difference. And I said, you are very rich. And she says, yes, I am very rich. So you have to have all three of those factors.
Well, it sounds like a good thing. And the judicial foreclosure versus, what do they call it, the trustee foreclosure?
Trustee sale. Uh-huh.
Trustee sale. Trustee sale is what we always hear of. So, so you brought up a good point. It must be a recourse loan. And, of course, with these short sales, a lot of people who are selling short were worried about the second deed of trust, because the second deed of trust was a recourse loan, and they could go after the people. But new laws now have put that on the back burner and allowing people to sell short without recourse, right?
Yes. What it was is the term for a person having a second TD on a property and then getting foreclosed out. In most cases, a second will be a recourse loan. So it's called a foreclosed out junior lien holder, and they have the right to go after the person after the foreclosure. And then California wrote a law that basically said they have to, if they agree to the short sale, then they cannot go after the people afterwards. So that has that law has helped. And one other interesting side note to this is the fact that California is a trustee sale state, and other states aren't. The trustee sale states are coming out of the foreclosure situation a lot faster because they've completed the foreclosures faster. So that's a statistic a lot of people don't know. California and Arizona will be coming out of it a lot faster than states that have, like Florida, that has a statutory law. So there's a lot of interesting things in this foreclosure field.
Now, this short sale, the second, right, you said it would be amazing that they would agree to it, to take less or half, and then come around and go after. That was pretty insane, so I'm glad they stopped that. The DuaneGomer.com, if you want to follow up on today's guest, Duane Gomer, D-U-A-N-E. Say that last part again about the distinction with California versus Florida, and say that again.
Okay, now in California, and say California is a trustee sale state. Florida is you have to go to court. Statute that all has to be judicial foreclosures, meaning wait a year and a half to get to court and a year right of redemption in most states. Well, California, they can do it in maybe a 4-month period. You know, they go into start the foreclosure in a 4-month period, then they have the trustee sale. Well, because of that and because of the ease of doing it, the California lenders have been doing their foreclosures a lot faster than the statutory states. And the Wall Street Journal just the other day had an article about how it looks very promising for trustee sales states to recover quicker.
That is good news. Well, you said it the first time. I just wanted you to say it again in a different way to make it real clear, because that rings a bell. That's a big thing. And we've been seeing, as I mentioned in the first segment before you came on, we've had a huge increase, of course, this year in the number of short sales of bank-owned property. First 18 weeks of the year in 2011, we had 60, which represented 23.5% of our sales, single family from Carp to Goleta. And in the first 18 weeks of 2012, we had 107, which represented 31%.
Yes.
So it's flushing out a lot
faster.
Of property. Yeah,
faster. Banks are getting faster.
Flushing it out, but the inventory is still very, very low. Talking with Duane Gomer about strategic default, I want to ask you one more thing, wrap it up, take a quick break, and come back for another segment so we could talk about should I buy and sell my current home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the two things that keep people, you said, from strategic default, short sale, fear of walking away financially, and the moral thing. And that moral thing, in my client, it just really is hard on a person who you work your whole life, you always pay your bills. It just is so, it's anathema. But it just finally backs up against the wall. He just can't throw money on this house. It's a pit, and the bank won't help him, and he had to make that decision.
Let me give you one last thought that might make him feel a little better. There is a lot of moral pressure. It's peer pressure. Everybody says, oh, my God, you're going through foreclosure, and it's all the problems with peer pressure. But when you said, did you breach the contract? Well, the lender made the loan knowing that if the person did not pay, they would have to go to foreclosure to take the property back. In California, they made the loan. They also knew that it was a non-recourse loan, and so therefore, if they took it back, by law, they could not get a judgment deficiency. So therefore, the contract that I made, let's say I am a borrower and I make with a lender, I make the contract saying that if I don't make my payments, I know I'm going to lose my house. That you write that in the thing. So I agree now. I didn't make the payments. Here is the house. I feel that I am complete. So I'm not feeling that I'm breaching the contract as much as I am just understanding the contract and knowing that it will go back to the lender.
I see your point that the bank knew up front that this could be a potential alternative, and they lent the money, they did their appraisal, they did their credit check, they did their side, and you did your side, and it's an option. It's an option for the contract. I have a client that has a very wealthy, and he bought some property, and he refused over the years to refinance because he's convinced, and I don't know if the law still says this, I don't know if anyone ever goes after this, but he's convinced that your initial loan when you buy the house is the non-recourse loan, but when you refinance, technically the refinance loan is not the same as the purchase money loan, and he has never refinanced for fear that they could then come after him.
Yes, any refinance is a recourse loan.
But they never go after them, do they?
They hardly. I have not ever seen, they just don't happen, except in commercial property.
Except for someone listening to this radio show, and it'll now happen to them, and then they'll blame you and me, because we said it never happened. So if you refinance your home, it's a recourse loan. Be aware of that.
Correct, and then they would have to go have it see an attorney. Oh, everybody before they do anything like this should get legal advice from not only their attorney, but also their pastor, accountant. One very quick thing: when somebody sells in a short sale, that's ordinary income, and you have to worry about the canceled debt problem. If you sell on if your property is taken back on a foreclosure, that is a sale. And you actually have a loss on the sale, so it's a completely different situation tax-wise. So these people that are contemplating it they have to talk to their attorney, and then they have to talk to their accountant. But one thing I would ask their attorney, have you seen any instances in Santa Barbara County of a judicial foreclosure on a residence? That would be my one question I'd ask an attorney. And strategic default has a bad taint to it, but it was just like years ago. In a divorce, you're breaching a contract. You vowed to stay with this person till death did you part.
There was no clause after that that if you divorce. Well, then now we have it. It's called a prenuptial agreement. We're going to take a quick break.
The prenuptial agreement is the problem then, right?
It makes marriage a non-recourse loan.
Stay tuned.
We're going to come.
Marriage is a non-recourse loan. That would be a good way of stating it.
Stay tuned. We're going to continue talking with Dwayne Gomer about. We're going to have to maybe pick one topic. I don't know if we'll have time, but either accidental landlords or should I buy or sell my current home today? Maybe we'll fit them both in. Okay, Dwayne, you stay with us, and we'll be right back.